Good morning. So, on the rainy day is a joyful day. Let's go into the presence of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just really give thanks for you for being with us all the time. And this morning, we just ask you to pour out your spirit over us as we go into your word, go into your presence. I just ask that you help us to reconnect and reconnect ourselves to you. Thank you, God. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning's scriptures is... it's actually a spin-off from last Sunday's sermon. So if you can turn to Genesis chapter 18, verses 27 to 29. Actually, we will read from 27 all the way to 33. 27, Abraham replied, "Now behold, I venture to speak to the Lord, although I am but dust and ashes. Suppose the 50 righteous are lacking 5. Will you destroy the whole city because of 5? And he said, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." He spoke to him yet again and said, "Suppose 40 are found there." And he said, "I will not do it on the count of 40. Then he said, "Oh, may the Lord not be angry, and I shall speak. Suppose 30 are found there." And he said, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." He said, "Now behold, I venture to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there." And he said, "I will not destroy it on the account of the 20. Then he said, "Oh, may the Lord not be angry, and I shall speak only this once. Suppose 10 are found there." He said, "I will not destroy it on the account of 10. As soon as he finished speaking to Abraham, the Lord departed, and Abraham returned to his place. So this is a part of the dialogue that Abraham have with God regarding not to destroy the city of Sodom. And because the city was so, in the depth of sin and just the only penalty or the punishment worthy for this city is total destructions. And so Abraham, God disclosed to Abraham about his plan, and Abraham went in and do an intercession and asked God not to destroy the city, for pleading for his mercy and compassions. And this is a dialogue that they have. This morning, I want to look at this particular dialogue, a couple things that I want to highlight to you, a couple verses that I want to highlight to you, verses 27. It talk about when Abraham was pleading with God not to destroy the city, he was saying, although I am but dust and ashes. He know who he is. A lot of time talking about, intercessions and talking to God, how people will ask, how can you hear from God? How do you talk to God? It comes down to the very basic about intimacy, your relationship with God. And John Calvin, this theologian, I just really admire. I have not read so many of his stuff, but the little that I read, I just like really amazed. At the age of 26, he wrote the book of the Institute of the Religion. Basically, it set out a foundation of our belief, and he do the stuff that you look into it. You could not imagine someone at the age of 26 can do that. And one of the very kind of well-known phrase that he has in the first chapter, he say that there is two, give you the true wisdom, there's two kind that you can broadly divide it into two parts. It's the knowledge of self and knowledge of God. And he, in the first chapter, talking about knowledge of God, he talk about, without knowing yourself, without knowing who you are, you actually won't know who God is. And so it's like without knowledge of God, without a self, there is no knowledge of God. And what he talk about is when when we go about in our life, that there's many things that we experience that is not so happy, that is tragedies and there's suffering and all these other things. And also, even when we look into ourselves, we know that it's something lacking. And we couldn't help, as we find more about ourselves, couldn't help but look that there must be something greater. And you turn that this need that you actually need to seek God, and you turn to God and you find out more about God. And the next spin of his phrase is without knowledge of God, we would not have the knowledge of self. In a sense that as we have been pushed by our own needs and all this, turning to the greater that you know, that God, that who God is, and looking at who God is, as we continue deep inside and looking who God is, we actually find out more about who we really are. And when you think about it, we are created in God's image. So we, to, for us to know ourselves, we really need to tap into who God is. And when I look at this passage from Abraham, it's obviously he having this dialogue. He know who he is. He is nothing but the dust and ashes. But yet he know who God is. He's a compassion God. He's a mercy God. And he know who he is. He has the identity. Although Christ does not happen there, but he know his identity in God. He know that he have a position. He is given a position, an invitation from God to intercede, a position to advocate. It's just like Jesus have this position to go before God to advocate for us. And because of Jesus, we as a descendant, considered as a descendant of Abraham, also have a position to intercede. And from this, we notice that, you know, he know that when he go into the intercession, he know that who he is. And he, therefore, he can boldly going before God and submit to God. When he first lay down principle, he know he's a just God, and so he put forward the arguments that if, you know, 50 people, righteous people in that land, you being a just God, would you not, you know, say, wave, you know, not to wipe out the whole city just because of the 50, because he know who God is, the merciful God and the God who have justice. But as we progress in the conversation, we know that he know he gradually he does not have the ground. And in his dialogue, he talk about, you know, may the Lord not be angry. May me speak, allow me to speak one more time. He know who he is, knowing that he nothing that the dust and ashes, but so the humility also comes through. It's knowing who God is help us to know that, you know, we have nothing, but yet we go before God. So in a lot of passage that in the Bible, it talk about we go before the God with a trembling fear. Because you look at the book of Job or whoever, you know, a lot of time when they've come face to face with God, that is this fierce, because you know he's so great and he's just beyond you. And he have all the power. God have all the power, and God also have emotion. He know that God can be angry, and so that's, you see the attitude of Abraham going before God is with trembling fears, with humility, but yet at the same time he know who he is, his identity, that he have a position that he can participate, petitions before God. And this morning I just want to quickly spend up your time can you show the belief trees thing? Yeah. I just want to go through these belief trees that help us to think about the decision that we make every day. You know, a lot of time we go to church, we grow up in a church, or you've been in the church for a while, we have all the Christian lingos. We know about God is, you know, he's personal, he is great, he is the truth. We have all this as a knowledge. But when we look at our behavior, we really, sometimes the decision that we make really does not match. So we have, just wait for a little bit. So basically, this belief tree is just help us to process. And I, this morning, I want to invite you to think about, you know, certain actions. Whether, you know, we've been growing up in this environment, Christian environment, we know about God and all this, but yet our behavior is not matching. And, you know, even in the book of Romans, Paul was saying that, you know, sometimes I know what is due is right, but yet my flesh is just going the other way, turning away from God. And okay, so, you know, the picture is not showing, but basically if you imagine this big trees, and there's soil on it, and there is root going into the soil, and then there's tree trunk, and then branches going out, and this really beautiful tree have fruit on it. And so talking about the soil, the ground of the soil that for the tree to grow up, you know, in the New Testament talking about the different soil, different growing, and it's helped the tree to grow. And what it represents, if we put into the perspective of a belief tree, is that the soil is the environment, the belief that we are being bombarded with, the world will, what is the world believe in, try to feed us with the nutrition. And also at the same time, in the Christian environment, we have certain four basic biblical worldview that the first one is God is infinite and personal. Human is finite and personal. Truth is constant and knowledge. And our choices, whatever the choices that we make, we have consequences. And also at the same time, we've been bombarded with different values and thinking and belief that is in the world. And that feed into us. And as you can imagine, there's a nutrition going up, and the root is like digging into it. And the root itself, we consider that belief the truth. So after you have, like, you're in the soil, that you being the trees, I try to describe that, you being tree into the soil, you take out whatever is truth and to feed in to build up your trees. So what the root really represents is the truth. I put it quote unquote truth in to making your decision. Basically, it's what you believe in. You believe that, for example, you believe that I cannot do it. Then your action is you will be fearful and not able to do it. But if you believe that God is Almighty God and He is there for me and nothing can go against me, then the fruit you might come out will be like Abraham bonus. This is just a small example, but as this is your belief that affect the whole decision you're gonna make, and the tree, as you continue to go the root, and then you have the trunk. The trunk basically is the value and the wants, the things that you want and the things that you value in life. For example, family, friends, love, those are the value that help to put together, shaping how strong the tree is standing up. And then you go into the branches. Basically, branches, some people describe that as, you know, policy or principle-based decision. So you know what is good. So you hear, you analyze logic and everything, you come in and go into the branches, and these are the form and the basis of your decision making. But at the end of the day, when you make the decision, it's only shaping it. But at the end of the day, the fruit coming out ultimately actually go all the way back to the root. Is what you believe in, and what are you taking in? And I want to use an example to demonstrate how it affect us. And I really want to invite you guys to think about, you know, what is shaping your decisions. And then go back to that very root. What kind of truth are we basing it on? Are we based on the truth of God, the true wisdom that is from God, or are we based on some false premises? Taking one example that I want to use, we are in the season of the mission month, so we go off the different missions and all this, and one of the things that, you know, we do is, you know, we encourage people to write support letter. I was talking to Pastor Eugene the other time, and he mentioned, you know, the culture of Hong Kong or SP, it seems to be very different, because in the United States, he mentioned that, you know, as soon as people are talking about going to mission trip, they raise their own fund. But I guess, like, you know, I don't know, in Hong Kong or in the Asian country culture, or some search, well, ISP maybe is people in a better position to pay the whole fee. So, or the country you go to, for example, Cambodia or China, like, the cost is so much lower that you can actually pay out your pocket, and then you don't have to involve anyone. And especially, you know, with the faith-saving cultures, like, we don't want to take favor from other people, and we pay the favor, that sort of thing. And we have that mindset being behind us. So a lot of time, we don't even need to do fundraising. I remember, like, the first mission trip, I just paid my own way, and I was just quite happy about it. And, you know, it's just like, I go on mission trip on my own, kind of something to be proud of. But compared to a different culture where they grow up with, okay, well, I'm on God missions. Oh, that's the belief trees. very colorful, very nice. And yeah, and so growing up in that culture, the idea of support letter, obviously one major thing is asking for money, because we have to go and do missions and we involve. But the idea also coming is that we are a body of Christ. It's not one person going on a mission trip, but it's the whole church or the body of Christ coming together, going to a mission trip. So when you send off a support letter, you ask for prayer support, you ask for financial support, but this support is coming together as a family of Christ, coming together, going with you together to the mission field. And the person who receiving the money, ideally, should be, you know, I'm doing what God called me to do, and God provide. So the money technically is not from your friends, it's not from your donor, but really it's from God. And who is your boss, which is really it's really God who give you the money to go. And in terms of, you know, accountability, who are you reporting to? Technically or ideally, it should be God. But a lot of time, you know, our pride come in, our identity come in, and we go and do, you know, fundraising and all this. A lot of time we may have lost the focus. We're thinking about, oh, not enough, so I have to get more. So we become reliant on ourselves. We do our own spin, thinking all this, but we forgot about the picture, God being in the midst of it. And also, I have this experience because during my, you know, 3 years of seminary, we have to go to a foreign country to do missions, and we have to raise our own fund. And the lecturer specifically told the whole group, is like, even though you can afford it yourself, you cannot use your money. You have to go and experience the full extent of a mission, how a missionary live his life, and also how, you know, how God come through even in the midst of you have nothing, and you just have to wait on people. And that's the humility sometimes that we didn't experience in Hong Kong, especially if you are in a comfortable position where you can afford a lot of things. And so I remember I sending off letters out to different people, and no one respond for the longest time, and time is kicking and I don't know what to do. And then there's a fund you can apply, so I apply, and then when I fill in the form, they say, how much do you want? And I ask the full amount. My lecturer come back, it's like, what are you doing? and so I end up have to wait, and as the clock is ticking, I out of nowhere in the middle of the day, I receive a call and say, this lady say, oh, I meant to call you up, but I just, you know, thing got in the way, but how much do you need? And, you know, for me, it's like, whoa, good, good, yeah. But then at the same time, I guess part of me is that it's the face as well. I don't want to tell people how much I need. And so in a way, but also at the back of my mind, I also want to ask them to join me in the journey of seeking God. So even how much, it's not how much I need, but really it's how much God moves you to contribute in this mission trip. So my answer usually to them is, you know, forget about, you know, how much I need, you go to God and you pray. And whatever amount that God gives you, you just, you know, contribute. And so I receive a few calls, and even people call me up and say, oh, I felt, you know, I need to contribute. And so at the end of the day, I have more than enough. I have even pocket money to buy other things. And I just all give thanks to God. But that is not the end of my mission journey in terms of, you know, knowing, you know, experiencing this mission journey as God provide and all this. I remember when I was, basically, when you're on the mission field, we also taught to write support letter, write report, and also ask people to continue to pray for you during the course of the mission, like course of the missions. So in the past, when I go mission trip, I'm really happy and experiencing God and asking people to pray for me, and I just wrote letters like with no agenda at all. But when it come to when I have to raise my own fund, when I write my letter, and you know, sometimes nothing could happen in the mission field. Maybe you're not doing anything at all because there's no door being open, nothing being available. But because I have the sense that I receive money from other people. I need to report to them. So I end up finding myself writing praise report just to please my donor that I'm doing something. And at that particular point, I have this sharp realization is, who am I really serving? Even though I'm on a mission trip, I'm supposed to be serving God, but yet at the same time, I notice that I'm trying to please my donor. And that is not the right attitude. So I repented, and I was just like, keep reminding myself that I'm not reporting to them. And while I'm going through all these belief tree and all these, you know, sometimes it's that your behavior, your actions. And I have a friend that she's on a mission trip, but she's been delaying in putting in her support to ask for any support. So as we go through, you know, why are you withholding it? A lot of time is the culture, you know, the Asian faith-saving culture. I don't want to ask for money. It's like as if I ask money that there is doubt to my ability. That is, people might challenge me. And if you go back to the root, is then you have to think, what are you really believing in? What you consider mission is? It's ultimately it's not your holiday. You are doing that, and you pray and you felt God led you to this mission trip, and you go through it. And I find that a lot of time we have all this in our head knowledge, but we do not have it in our root. So as a result, the action that we do does not match. I know that some people, when they pray, they pray really something safe so that he know that God will grant. We pray for even like people, we pray for healing and all this. You know, on one hand, it's like, I know that God can heal. But at the same time, it's, I don't know that whether he will heal in this instance. So that is this struggle that how do I pray for people at all so that, but if they don't get healed, will I be disappointed and all this? And again, even for that little doubts that we have, which is healthy as we continue to walk in our journey, Christian faith, we need to wrestle with our faith. Every time that we at that point that we struggle, and it's good that we have a struggle so that we can come out of the struggle, we can grow. But we also have to go, then I will invite you to go back to the root. What is making you struggling here? Is it because that you hear about God as being good, God can heal, but yet I'm not sure he really do it for me or do it for me. Then again, the picture is like, then it's the fear of man and how people view me and also how I view myself. The focus then, we lost the focus about who God really is. But if you wrestle, but you on one hand is that I know God can heal, but on the other hand, I know God is softened. It is his decisions, his authority, whether, you know, I'm going to heal this particular person. Then I guess like, then your perspective is more healthy in that way, that you know God can heal, he's all powerful, but yet he is a sovereign God. And we submit to his authority ultimately. So we do our part when we proclaim, we pray for the person who is sick, but at the same time we know who God is. We come humbly with the trembling fear before God, and just like Abraham here, he know who God is, but we know that God is also mercy, and so he can negotiate, come like for the life of the city of Sodom, he can come down to negotiate to a point that where he know that 10 is probably the bottom line, and so he know who he is, he know who God is, and he stopped negotiating at that point. And so this morning, I would like to invite us in this time. Monica can come up, and we just go into a bit of time of reflections. A lot of things that we do in life is so busy, we do not have time to process. Really, I would suggest that, you know, at the end of the day, go back home, do a journaling really help. Just really, you know, reflect back on who you are. And this morning, taking a bit of time, and I asked the Holy Spirit just come down and just, you know, review to us, you know, even some little incident, just bring us back to the very root, what are we believing in, and help us, you know, to pour out your truth over us so that our root can be secure and strong, and we are basing ourselves in your truth.
I believe.
Jesus, you really are the reason that we live, the reason that we are here, the reason that, you know, that we become part of you. And I really pray, Father God, that, you know, you just do not cease talking to each one of us. And I really pray, Father, that you help us to have the discipline, really setting aside of room for you to come in, you know, in maybe in the hustle and bustle of day and things are, you know, flooding in all in all direction. I just pray that, you know, even in the midst of all this, that your voice and your word are like the double-edged sword, just cutting through and help us to focus and refocus so that, you know, all the thing that we do, all the thing that we say, it is for your glory, and it is focusing on you. And I also ask that, you know, Lord, just give us the room and the rest that is that we so needed, that is in you, Lord. Just come and help us. And to end the passage, I just want to use this verses that's from Philippians 4:8. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. You know, as our tree trunk go into the soil, there is so many things as trying to seize our attentions. And I really pray that our focus are on the noble things, the truth, the right thing, the lovely thing, the admirable things, the excellent thing that is praiseworthy, so that, you know, that we are we know what to take in from to build our life on, to be that tree that's connected to God, and that our actions, our faith, are reflected in our actions and in our daily walk. Thank you, God, for being with us. Okay, now let's turn to our community. Pray for the community. There's a list of people who we've been praying every day. We strongly believe that God is love and He will heal. And it is by that faith that we also submit our prayer to God, who will soften God, to ask for His mercy, that these people are healed, and also that, you know, the family that's supporting them have the peace of God with them the whole time.
Thank you.
And also the next page, well, let's pray for those family members who are suffering at this point. But most important also is their salvation as well. And also point five is telling people, let's continue to pray for those who are suffer from various infirmities. Continue to lift up those that among us who are seeking employment, ask that God provisions be extended to them. Turn to today prayer focus. Let's pray for Cambodia and also Philippines and also Bhutan. These are the organizations that we've been praying every week, and just keep continue to contend for them, for them to be the light of the world for Christ in these countries. We have two teams going to Cambodia, the Broom team and the Worship Conference team. So press in and pray for them, and just during the time of preparations, and also pray for team unity during this time as they prepare. Lift up the IP team, Cascade, the Well, and the local outreach team. Let's pray for God's anointing over them as they minister to people. Finally, let's pray for tonight. That's a Bible study organized by the Men's and Women Ministry. So there's a lot of logistics to organize. And also pray for the teachers, Pastor Carol and Pastor Eugene, tonight. So just ask for God to pour out his anointing over both of them. So and the men and women who attended will be blessed through this Bible study. Father God, I was really thankful for being with us all the time, Lord. I really lift up my brother and sister here. You know, despite the thunderstorm that is raging, they come here to seek your presence. I really pray that, you know, they come face to face with you. And as they dip deeper into who they are and how they believe in things, that they come to know you more. And as they know you more, they know more about themselves. And as this continue like a cycle going on, that this deep intimacy would develop. God, you're so good. I just ask you to pour out your goodness and your blessing over each one of my brothers and sisters here. Thank you, God, for being with us. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good day and continue to draw in the presence of God.